forget to mention is that there are a lot of snacks here today. And so the problem is, if you don't eat the snacks, when I come into work on Monday, it means I need to eat the snacks. Well, let me tell you. When Carrie wants me to weigh in before I go to work and then weigh in when I come back, then it has become a problem. In the forests of Northern Europe and in Asia, there's a funny furry creature called an ermine. It has the most beautiful white fur. But the ermine will do anything not to get its fur dirty. And so what the hunters do is they don't trap the ermine. What they do is they find its home and they smear the entrance with gunk, grease or whatever it is. And then they set the dogs loose and chase the ermine. And what does the ermine do? It runs for home. But when it gets to the entrance of its home, instead of soiling its coat, it won't go in. It's trapped by the dogs and captured, preserving its purity. For the ermine, purity is more precious than life. C.S. Lewis said, "It's easy to say, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. For only the pure in heart want to see God." Let's pray. God, we anticipate that you are speaking and moving in our lives, within our families, and within our church community. Give us soft hearts so we can receive your love and likewise love others. We want to give you the freedom to move in every part of our lives. We pray this in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Before I go on any further, I had no idea Maura was going to say that. I just got to say, hired help is hard to find. It's true. Matthew 5, 1-8. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain. And after he sat down, his disciples came to him, and he began speaking and teaching them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they'll be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they'll inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they'll be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they'll receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God." John the Baptist is in jail, a place he will not leave alive. John was the forerunner, the one who's preparing the way for the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Through his ministry, he was calling the people of Israel to repent, or quite literally, to change the path they were on so they wouldn't miss what God wanted to do in them and all around them. Calling for the people of God to set aside their sinful ways and selfish ambition. Today in the season of Lent, God also calls us to set aside the things that so easily grab our attention and those sinful practices that are continually tripping us up. One of the things we could ask ourselves this morning is the question, are we moving closer to Jesus by our actions, decisions, and thoughts? Daily, this is happening in each of our lives, by our choices, but often we are so busy, we don't reflect on where we're headed. John the Baptist is calling people to intentionally decide, and the Spirit of God is also calling us. As Jesus teaches on the hillside, mountaintop, his audience is broken into three different groups. The nearest that are sitting around him, that he's directly instructing, or his closest followers. But a bit further out from there are the other two, the interested crowds and the religious leaders, who both had their own agendas and goals. The crowds delighted in the free meals of fish and bread and marveled at the miracles, healings, and authority in Christ's words. The religious leaders are attempting to maintain their raised position of status and power within the culture, and were more than ready to defend it against anyone who might threaten it. And Jesus definitely was a threat. So far we've looked at, blessed are the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, the merciful. Today, in the second week of Lent, Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. Do you feel blessed? Do you know someone else who is blessed? What does it mean to be blessed? In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said, those who are poor in spirit are blessed. Those who mourn are blessed. Those who are hunger and thirst for righteousness are blessed. And now today, those who are in pure heart, they would be blessed. This kingdom that Jesus is bringing to earth as it is in heaven looks so different from the culture that we live in, where people are chasing after the money and what it can buy. I don't understand when an athlete or an actor promotes a certain kind of shoes, perfume, toothpaste, clothes, that it should cause us to run out and buy the product. But the fact is, we run out and buy the product. And that's why they keep making advertisements. Shoe companies like Reebok and Nike, or soft drinks like Pepsi and Coke, bid to have these popular people in their commercials. It's not because LeBron of basketball fame or Bono in the music industry love Coke more than Pepsi. Rather, Coke is paying more than Pepsi was willing to use their fame to sell the product. So why does advertising work? Because we get fooled into thinking if we wear certain clothes or use a certain kind of deodorant, we'll be like Tom Brady or Angelina Jolie. Have you ever turned into a movie star after chewing a certain type of gum? Of course not. Buying brand name clothes or cars or food will not give us the life of the rich and famous. And the reality is, most of the rich and famous do not have the joy that God promises to those who are his followers. Maybe the current flow of our society is not going in the right direction. And that, in fact, we're missing the purpose for our existence. The ethics and morals that Jesus points to in his teaching makes it look like those with a hard life, the poor, those who mourn, the hungry, are actually the winners, or those to seem to have the clearest picture of what life is all about. This last week, I was reading in Mark 10:31, and this is what it says. In eternity, many who seem important now will be least important then, and those who are considered least here will be the greatest there. I'm going to say that again. So this is Mark 10:31. In eternity, many who seem important now will be least important then, and those who are considered least here will be the greatest there. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they'll see God. What does it mean to be pure in heart? In the Old Testament, it uses this term over 150 times. The idea of purity was a very external experience. It was based more on religious ceremonies and rules. For example, in Leviticus 19:11-13, if you touched a dead body, you would be unclean for 7 days. This might explain why the two religious people who passed by the injured man in the Good Samaritan story chose not to help him. Before an Orthodox Jew ate a meal, they would ceremonially wash, but not because of hygiene. First, the hand was washed, pointed the finger upward, running down the wrist, then into the palm of the hand, and then was cleaned with the other fist. And the hand was washed again, this time pointing down so the water would run off your fingers. If you don't like taking baths, you probably would not enjoy the high priest job. On the Day of Atonement, the high priest had to wash his whole body 5 times and his hand and feet 10 times. To be a priest, you had to come from the tribe of Levi. There was no exceptions. No matter how spiritual or devoted a person might be, they could not be a priest if they were from one of the other 11 tribes. There were no moral requirements or aspects of spiritual maturity listed. The only thing that could disqualify you was a list of 142 physical defects. Nothing impure could be offered in the temple, which represented the presence of God, if it was defective, whether animal or priest. There are some things that are redeemable about this outlook. Often by observing someone from the outside, we can get clues about the things that are important to them. What kind of things make them happy or sad? Where do they use their resources? How do they treat others? But for Jesus, purity was very much a movement that was going on inside the person. Things that we cannot see with the physical eye, but rather motives or matters of the heart. In Matthew 23, 25, 26, Jesus was speaking to the religious leaders and said this: "For you're so careful to clean the outside of the cup and the dish, but inside you're filthy, full of greed and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first wash the inside of the cup and the dish, and then the outside will become clean too." They kind of had the process backwards. We can too. A pure heart is the center of one's being, including mind, will, and emotions. In Psalm 51:10, David the psalmist writes, "Create in me a clean heart," or a pure heart. A person with a pure heart was single-minded in their devotion and commitment to God. This may be the most difficult of all the Beatitudes to live out. Matthew 5, Jesus says, "You have heard the commandment that I say, you must not commit adultery. But I say, anyone who looks on a woman with lust has already committed adultery with her in his heart. Which of us has coveted or wanted something our friend or neighbor has that we do not?" Don't you think it's a good thing that people cannot read our minds and know all the bizarre things that run across our thought life? In so many ways, our ways are nothing like God's ways. To be pure in heart is to willingly humble ourselves and then honestly examine our heart's intent and motives. Ultimately, it's impossible to have a pure heart without God. This is other than who we are, for it demands a death to self. The blessing is that we will see God. We know from Moses' encounter with God in Exodus 33, 18 to 23, that no one can see God and live. What happens in this story is that God says he'll cover Moses' eyes so he can only see the glorious presence as he passes by. The end result is when Moses comes down the mountain, the people are scared to talk to him because his face is glowing. He finally had to put a veil over his face because of the afterglow of God's presence. And all this just from catching a glimpse of God's presence from behind. In 1 Corinthians 13, 12, the Apostle Paul says, "For now we see dimly, like through a dark glass, but someday in the future, in eternity, we will see him face to face. Although we will not see God face to face in these earthly bodies, for our sockets and wiring would surely explode." God does reveal what he's like through the scriptures, in prayer, being part of church community, and through the inner witness of the Holy Spirit within us. I think by pursuing the things of God, that he does reveal more and more of what his character is like to us. Rob Reamer says, "We can have as much of God as we want, but no more than we're willing to pay the price for." The story is told of a father of five who came home with one toy. And he said to his children, "Who has been the most obedient today? Does not talk back to mom? Does everything that he or she is told to do?" He inquired and there was silence. And then a chorus of voices saying, "You play with the toy, daddy." The idea then of pure in heart is that there's no impurities or extras added. It's like refined gold. When I was growing up and the ketchup bottle was almost empty, my mom would add water to it, shake it up, and pour it out as ketchup. It was disgusting. "I will only use brand name ketchup today with no water added, thank you." Also, my mom would add powdered milk to the real milk to make it go further. This may be another reason why I do not drink milk today. The ketchup and milk had extras added that changed the essence of what was pure. John Woolford says, "The pure in heart are those who are inwardly clean from sin through faith in God's provision while acknowledging their sinful condition." If you copy the world and follow its standards and goals, you'll end up with the world's results. For many, it is often too late that we discover it doesn't work. I had a friend who had a gasoline attendant put gas in their diesel truck, which did not work so good. God designed us in a particular way that money, fame, and power would never satisfy the deepest longing of our soul. What if the most important thing that you did on this earth in your 50, 60, 70, 80 years of life was to be the best friend that you could be to your spouse, to your children, to your parents, to those you go to school with, to those you work with, to those you go to church with? It would set the whole world's paradigm on its head from the mantra of me first. So if our friendship with God and each other are the most powerful and influential things that we will ever be a part of in our lifetime, what occupations would be the most valued and cherished? It would be the service industry, the person working at McDonald's, the person making beds at the motel, the mechanic fixing our cars. And if our friendships were the highest goal, how would this impact our conversations with each other and what God must hear us say? I think we'd be more careful wanting to choose words of life over harshness and cruelty. What kind of things would be the most pressing besides checking our phones or Facebook pages every few seconds? Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Let's pray. God, we want to be close to you in every part of our being. We want to love the things that you love in this incredible created world. We want to honor and cherish these other human beings that have been equally made in your image. Give us purity of heart toward you and each other. In Jesus' name, amen.
Best of me is barely breathing. 'Cause I know nobody loves me better. Hold on to me. Hold on to me.
We're going to have communion again this morning. I'm just going to point some things out. One is, if you're gluten-free bread, there's plates that have gluten-free bread on both of the communion tables. What we're going to do is, after I invite you up, you're going to come up and take the cup of juice and bread. We're going to sit down, then we're going to partake of it together. And when you're going out of the sanctuary, there's actually baskets or a garbage can that you can put the cups in. This morning, we focus on our fellowship that we have with Christ. The bread and the juice are a symbolic meal. In Jesus' time period, for people actually to eat a meal with each other was very significant. It was considered in deep friendship. And this is what made the Pharisees so mad when Jesus would eat with the tax collectors and sinners, is because he was extending friendship to them. The bread and the juice are also a sign of God's presence with us. He created us to be in relationship with him and each other. As followers of Christ, we celebrate our relationship with him and one another. The fullness and the riches of our Lord can be found within the fellowship and the love of the church community. So I invite you to come and take the bread and the juice. There's two different stations you can get it at.
Thank you.
The Lord Jesus, on the night he's betrayed, took the bread and broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Let's partake of the bread together." Thank you, Jesus, that you encountered our lives. It's the best thing that has ever happened to us. We just continue to pray for your goodness, your grace, your healing to touch us and be upon us. In Jesus' name, amen. In the same way he takes the cup, blood and covenant, whoever drinks this does in remembrance of me. Whoever eats the bread and drinks the cup proclaims the Lord's death until he comes again. And we say, "Maranatha, come, Lord Jesus." Let's partake of the cup together. Jesus, we thank you for your shed blood that has set us free, that has washed our sins white as snow, like the ermine's fur. You know exactly what we need, and you love us, and you care for us. Amen. On our benevolent Sunday, or our communion Sundays, we take a benevolent offering up, and so the offering today is going to go to Ambrose, our school in Calgary, and so our ushers are going to pass that, the plates now. A couple announcements. I'll have my benediction. We'll sing one more song. You're dismissed. Youth this week, Wednesday, 7:00, 8:30 at Cardiff Hill. Because are they supposed to bring toboggans and things? It's sledding and skating. So you're not providing the skates. You don't know every kid's foot size. Wow. We need more money for research and development around here. That is wonderful. We always had fun sledding with the youth. The other thing is, there's lots of food here, so make sure you eat something before you go. As you go under the sign of the cross, knowing purity of heart comes from the goodness of God. And we experience this in our relationship with him as he works in us and works through us. Amen.
Let's stand and sing this last song together.
Come find his mercy. Come to the
gave us his one and only son to save us. Whoever.
Everyone.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his one and only son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom.
If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions? If Jesus comes tomorrow to spend some time with you, would you answer all his questions or lie to hide the truth? Would you welcome him with open arms or let him in? If Jesus comes tomorrow, what then? If Jesus calls your number, could you leave today? Are you ready to lay down your worldly goods and walk away? Would it take